We have reached the 21st pick in the Amateur Hour podcast mock draft. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Sam Vecini, and we are joined by Real GM's The Cauldron's Jonathan Charks. John, what's going on today?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. And with the 21st pick, that is the Dallas Mavericks. Weird offseason for them. Let's start with the player options. I'm assuming we both, Monta Ellis not going to opt in, Al-Farouq Aminu most likely, definitely not opting in. He'll get paid more. Do you expect to see either of those players back in a Mavericks uniform next year?
I think they'll make more of a push for Aminu than Monte at this point. It really kind of feels like Monte started to wear out his welcome in Dallas. But at the same time, they have so many balls in the air. I could definitely see it where, it just like 2 years ago with them and Monte, they find nobody else to pay him, no one else to pay money, and he finds nobody else to pay him money, they come back together.
Tyson, do you think he's a priority, or do you think they rather go and get DeAndre Jordan?
I mean, they'd rather go and get DeAndre, but they've already been burned once by chasing these waterfalls, not going with the sure thing, so we'll see. I guess it really comes down to whether Tyson wants to be the plan B, or he wants to go somewhere else where he's more valued.
A kind of a problem for the Mavs this year and a lot of the teams with how the cap's jumping. You're going to be really behind the eight ball if you don't spend money and sign guys this summer. So they can't, I don't think they really want to do that thing where they just signed a bunch of guys on 1 year deals. You want to kind of have some of your core in place and then be able to kind of add on to that once the cap jumps instead of using the cap jump to build your core, if that makes sense.
Well, for sure. I mean, that's been the Mavs problem for the last 4 years, is they've just been constantly, they've been kind of like, they've been kind of running in place, just stay in place and running in as fast as they can. They haven't been able to build anything long-term. Every year it's a new roster. And right now it could be the same thing all over again, but I think they have like four guys under contract right now for next season. So it's all, there's like 10 balls in the air for them.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested to see what happens with the Mavericks this offseason. They're in kind of the weirdest spot, I think, of possibly any team in the NBA, because they're kind of in between, regimes at this point. Because you have Dirk and you have Chandler Parsons, who are kind of like both, they're definitely compatible as players, but they're not really, not age fits as far as what their timeline is, as far as winning. So they're going to have to find a way. They have to decide if they want to win now because Dirk is there, or if they want to win in the future and, you know, kind of have Dirk's last few years as a, I don't want to say a rough patch, but like a, not a great patch for a great player, a top 20 player of all time to go out with.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely want to win now, but it's a matter of whether they can win now, because they've set it up. They don't have really the first, they're depending on everybody else to make decisions. Like, they don't have much initiative right now. They can call people and give offers, but they have no trade assets, and they have not much else going for them besides cap room. So it's all kind of out of their hands.
Is there any scenario, if this offseason doesn't go the way it go in a positive fashion, that maybe Dirk and the Mavericks come together and say, hey, maybe it's the best thing that we trade you to a contender?
I would think that would happen more at the end of the season, because the Mavs will figure out some way to throw enough balls in there to it'll be competitive, probably. And they're not going to just give up the season before it even starts. But there's definitely a possibility, if this next season goes poorly and they're below 500, they might want to think about something like that. Though I wonder if Dirk and Kings want to go out together at the same time.
So, what do you think the most realistic possibility is as far as a max player? Is it DeAndre? Is it LaMarcus Aldridge? What do you think is possible at this point for the Mavs?
I mean, my guess is it would be LaMarcus. Like, DeAndre's living in L.A., playing with Blake Griffin, and to make max money. Is he really going to walk away from that to come play on a Dallas team without nearly as much talent? It just seems unlikely. That's not generally how things are going to go in free agency. Like, guys don't leave L.A. very often. Any of us, the Clippers. Maybe that's a new thing. LaMarcus, at least, the Portland team is a little in flux. They don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of moving pieces for them, too. But in all honesty, after the last 4 years, I'd be very, very surprised if the Mavs signed a big-time free agent. That's just balance by that kind of market, I don't think. And a team how it is now isn't good enough to justify guys taking their whole lives to come here.
Okay, so I'm going to pitch you an idea on why I think that Dallas is going to be a pretty attractive free agent market this year. I think they're going to be willing to sign guys to 1 to 2 year deals, those short-term deals that a lot of guys are going to want because of the jumping cap space that's coming. And because because Texas is an untaxed state, it's going to create kind of a way for them to make even more money at max level contracts than they would have possibly otherwise. Do you think that makes sense?
I mean, it definitely makes sense, but it's what they've been pushing the last few seasons too in terms of short-term deals. And I think with players, my gut tells me guys want to get long-term deals. They want to be secure. Because it just takes one injury on a short-term deal and you're screwed. If you can lock up a $100 million contract, we'll see how many guys really want to roll the dice and wait for the extra 2 years.
Well, I think it's going to depend if they've been paid already. Like, guys that have been paid already, like, DeAndre Jordan's probably made, what, $50 million in his career? Or no, DeAndre's only made $33 so far. Or no, $44 counting this year.
Only $44 million.
So, yeah, like, I think he might be more willing to take, like, a one-year deal to try and get his value up, especially if there's a chance that they're going to, you know, revamp this free throw rule where if he can't be hacked, he might turn into one of the 10 most valuable players in the entire NBA. So I think that it might be worth it to him, having already been paid, to kind of ride it out for another season. And the untaxed untaxed money in Dallas only helps that, in my opinion. I think that LaMarcus Aldridge, him being a little bit older, there's a chance that he might want to do a longer-term deal. You know, a few other guys are probably like that. Marc Gasol might be in that same boat. But these younger free agents, in my opinion, I think that the fact that Dallas lives in an untaxed state is only going to help them as far as attracting free agents.
With
I mean, still with LaMarcus, because he just watched Wesley Matthews tear his Achilles right before free agency, right? And he's about the same age as LaMarcus, so you never know at that age. But also, though, with players, they want to sign a team that's going to win. And what the Mavs can offer right now, they've got Dirk, who's 37, and a very low-key story around Dallas has been that Parsons had knee surgery, and they've been very, very hush-hush on what happened with that. Like, it may have been microfracture, it may not have been. No one really knows. There's no timetable set. There's been no information whatsoever. So if he's out for some part of time, there is not much on this roster at all.
And if he got microfracture surgery, he might not be ready to start the next season. That'd be the type of thing they'd be trying to hide.
That's the big concern right now in Dallas. I mean, we're just speculating because the Mavs are very hush-hush about it, but the word that's got has not been good. We'll see, I guess.
Yikes. With Jordan, it's like with Durant leaving the Thunder that people talk about. Like, where is he getting a better supporting cast than Ibaka, Westbrook, and the rest of that team? It's the same thing with Jordan. Where is he going and finding a better crew than Blake and Chris Paul to run with? I just don't see him leaving the Clippers. It doesn't make much sense to me either.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like with Blake. Blake is, what, 26? And he's really starting to get his own now in his last year or so. And, like, guys just don't pass chance to play with guys like Blake Griffin in the prime of their career. That's a hard thing to walk away from as a player.
And especially as Blake continues to round out his game and be able to shoot the jumpers, that's just going to open up and create a better pairing between the two as there's more space as Blake gets better at that 15 to 18 foot jumper that they could get even better together. So,
and the great Lance Stephenson too, right?
I'm a little stubborn about him.
Oh, I like this too.
Yeah. All right. Well, the draft pick, something, is there, are they actually going to use it this year?
I mean, they're talking a big game, but when push comes to shove, they really haven't lately. We'll see, I guess.
I think that I would be surprised if they didn't use this pick, just for the sheer fact that they're going to have max cap space regardless of this contract. You know, like, this isn't going to affect them one way or another. It's a way to keep costs down, actually, marginally, to get a valuable player. So to me, I would be surprised if they didn't use this on a player they like. Maybe someone they don't like ends up being available. Maybe someone that they're just not a fan of whoever is available at that spot. And in that scenario, I can see kind of a weird stash happening, or maybe even a trade to get more talent around Dirk and Chandler Parsons, hopefully. But I would be surprised, I think, if they didn't use this pick, even given their recent past.
Yeah, I would be as well, especially because they owe a pick going forward, I think, for the Rondo trade. I think next year's
yes.
pick is only top center protected. So they really want to take advantage of this one while they can.
Do you trust them to make a decent pick?
Not really. They haven't been very good draft lately. But, I mean, there's good players on the board, so I think there'll be easy moves to make. Whether they make them or not, we'll see.
The Jared Cunningham didn't work out, huh?
Yeah, it's been a rough go of it on the draft stuff. The Mavs.
So, who do we like in this position here? What is it? I mean, there's not even a position to target. I mean, they're flat out best player available. I mean, that's pretty obvious,
yep.
right?
Yeah, for sure.
And Sam, who do you have in the? Let's start. You guys are both good on draft guys, but let's start with Sam. Then we'll go to John on this. Who are we putting in the mix for the Mavs here?
Yeah, the guy that I think is going to fall a little bit come draft night is Sam Dekker. Wouldn't be a surprise if he was available for the Mavs, and I think the Mavs would really be able to use him well. At 21, he would be a very interesting guy to me. Who else? Maybe an RJ Hunter. That would be a very good fit for them. He'd fit their the way they like to move off the ball. The way that he can kind of move off the dribble a little bit and also pass the ball is terrific. And plus, the shooting is going to be great, and you just know that to start. I think the point guards, any point guard that's available in this spot is going to be interesting to them, be it Jaren Grant. I know they've had Tyus Jones in for a workout, DeLon Wright, maybe even to a lesser extent Terry Rozier. That's pretty interesting to me. And then another guy that he's been rising up draft boards pretty steadily is Rashad Vaughn. If they want to try and take a home run swing on a shooting guard that can kind of score, I'm not as high on Vaughn. I have him at 32, but it wouldn't really surprise me if they went that route because he's a guy that's apparently killing workouts and doing pretty well now that he's gotten out of that UNLV system.
Yeah, I could see Vaughn making a lot of sense. Well, same way they drafted Ricky Lito 2 years ago, in terms of Matt is going for the biggest possible swing at it possible. Mm-hmm. Just saying. There's no real harm in a downside here. Just roll for defenses.
Are the two UNLV kids the biggest upside kids once you reach the 20s?
Well, Robert Upshaw is the biggest upside guy once you reach the 20s.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I'm not going to get into Robert Upshaw's problems on this podcast because I have no desire to do that. He's definitely the biggest upside for me, though. After that, you're talking Chris McCullough, you're talking Rashad Vaughn, Christian Wood, guys like that, I would say. Justin Anderson, too, I wouldn't sleep on him as far as having a pretty strong upside in the modern NBA, just because he's very Draymond-y as far as the way he plays and the way he's able to switch on defense and due to his strength. So I would not sleep on Justin Anderson having a pretty high upside in with the way that the NBA is going at this point.
Yeah, that makes sense. The Mavs desperately need 3-and-D kind of players. They haven't had any in a long time. Like, they could really... That's a guy who can come in right away and make and get minutes for the Mavericks. He's a defensive-minded senior who can shoot the ball, play off the ball, and guard multiple positions.
Because the reality
is the way Rick Carlisle does things, whoever they draft is probably going to be a redshirt here. He likes to make guys sit and wait for you for the 80 minutes anyways.
Is that a strategy that he might have to alter this year, though, with how the roster could be constructed, that he might be forced in a way to play this pick, even if he doesn't want to?
Maybe, but I get the feeling the Mavs will find him a veteran, so we don't have to play this guy many minutes right away. That's just kind of the Mavs I've had the last few years. With the way how old Dirk is, they want to win right now. They're going to find a way not to play this young guy. That's my suspicion anyways.
If
you're going to do that anyway, I would just take a young guy with a high upside because if he's going to sit and he's going to have to, you know, wait around and learn around someone, it's a great idea to have him learn around Dirk, have him learn around a guy like Chandler Parsons, who was a late pick, who bloomed. He could maybe pick up some experiences from that. I would say that's a pretty smart thing for me. I don't know that that's going to be how they think about it because they're probably going to take who they think is the best player available. But, you know, I would probably go with the highest upside available here if I was them.
I mean, I think once you're in the 20s, pretty much a given. Like, at this point, just grabbing a big player you think can play. worry about the fit later. It's not too much. There's not that many good options to have, obviously, on the board at that point.
Well, we'll circle back to the pick in a second, but you've mentioned that on a couple occasions that you think they're going to look at some vets that they could fill out the roster. Do you have any idea on names that you would like as a fit on this roster that aren't like the max free agents, the obvious names on guys that you think they should target?
I have to look at the list, but I haven't really broke it down yet, but I imagine the Mavs would be very much like how they grabbed Monte Ellis and Devin Harris the last few years. After the first wave of guys goes, they'll be very aggressive about kind of looking for value. But I really haven't seen the list yet to give you some names.
All right, cool. No, that's understandable. So who would you put in the mix for this pick, John? I know the guy who you're going to end up taking in a little bit, but who else, who's your group of guys that you kind of like to target at this point?
Well, I think the draft is really strongest at, you know, power forward in terms of like your 6'8", 6'9", guys. But the Mavs do already have Dwight Powell, who I think they like a lot. And he definitely showed a lot of flashes of ability as a rookie. And he's the guy who has a much bigger role next season, a second-year player. So my guess is they'll want to get more perimeter players. And I think, as Sam said, all the point guards, and then you've got like Jones, Grant, Wright, the wing player. I think the wing players is where the Mavs are going to look. And that's really, to me, is RJ Hunter. If he's the guy on the board, I think he makes the most sense of anyone.
What about, I know Sam talked about him a little bit too, but what about RJ Hunter's game do you like that you think will translate well to the NBA?
Well, I mean, I think first off, he's just an elite shooter. He had a bad shooting year this year, but his track record suggests that he's going to shoot a really high level right away, which is just crucial where the league is going. And he can also put the ball on the floor and create for others. So he's a very multi-dimensional player, which is what the Mavs need. It's really a size, shooting, and playmaking the perimeter. Might be their three biggest needs right away.
Sam, defensively, what do you think Hunter at this point?
Hunter doesn't really know how to play defense yet in the NBA. I asked him about that at the combine. He gave me a pretty interesting response. He was just like, yeah, you know, that's a great question. I'm not really sure how it's going to work out because I've been playing zone all those years at Georgia State. But, you know, I think I've developed pretty strong instincts in passing lanes and stuff like that is what he told me. I think that his body is going to need a lot of work, especially his lower body, to be able to match up physically against these guys. His length is great. He has, you know, pretty strong instincts in passing lanes. He's a very high basketball IQ player, and that's going to be great for him in developing defensively and potentially developing into a at least solid defender. But I don't know that he's ever going to be much more than like a CJ Miles defensively, basically, where you can count on him to make the solid rotations, count on him to make sure that he's going to be in the right spot, but he's not going to be a guy that you can count on to make stops either.
Ooh. Yeah, I can see that. It seems like his value would come on offense mainly, and the defense would be good enough to survive. But whether he makes an impact on the offense on the floor. And I think with Hunter, you draft him, stash him for a year, get him in the weight room, get him stronger, and hopefully year two, year three, he's ready to come on.
CJ Miles is I know one's a righty and one's a lefty, but I actually think that's a pretty good comparison for what Hunter could be.
Yeah, Hunter's a little bit better of a ball handler, a little bit better of a passer, but a lot of the skills are pretty similar in my opinion. It would not surprise me if that was a similar career arc. Another guy that I would compare him to might be Marco Bellinelli.
I can see that.
Yeah, Bellinelli can do a little bit more off the dribble, a little bit better passer than CJ, but not necessarily as good defensively, not as long. So, I don't know. It's tough. He'll be fine, I think. RJ will be a good player in the NBA. He'll be a solid role player. I just don't see him being the star either. I don't really see the star potential even.
Well, yeah, you're in the 20s, obviously. That's not a huge thing. The way I look at it with the Mavs is I think right now they really have three young players who could be important moving forward, and that's Chandler Parsons, Al Farouk Aminu, and Dwight Powell. And those are the guys I think you want to start building long-term around with how old Dirk is. So with those three guys, you want some shooting around them, you want some perimeter playmaking around them.
Do you think they change philosophically going forward and maybe put more value into draft picks, or do you think they're going to continue along how they have?
I think they'll continue along how they have until it doesn't work. And I think right now in Dallas, a lot of people are watching to see when this thing eventually falls down. Because they've dragged this out Dirk's career for 17 years now, and it's worked so well so far, why ever change it? But you can kind of see that cliff coming with how old he is now. And you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. When that drops, I think about the just a lot of things that he's doing.
So RJ Hunter is your pick, correct? All right, so we'll make RJ Hunter the pick. Do you have anything you want? I know you got to get out of here. Do you have anything you'd like to plug or let people know about before heading out?
Not really. I'm on Real GM covering the NBA, the draft. We're doing stuff on the Cauldron. And I have my own little blog also, Pattern of Basketball, where I post other things. But other than that, not too much.
John's a very good writer, so make sure you guys go check all that stuff out. I read everything he does. Thank you very much for taking time out to join us. We always appreciate it. That wraps up another edition of the Amateur Hour Podcast Mock Draft.